If Pete Ross joins us again this week. Pete, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Lester. I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. You're Scottish, right?
That's correct.
I can't rib you about the Springboks versus Wales, but Scotland also played rugby this weekend, didn't they?
We did, and we lost to Argentina in Argentina for the first time in over 10 years. But, I mean, we had a bit of a second-string side, you know, a bit experimental. So, you know, first game in a three-test series, Lester. Oh. We're just easing our way in there.
We look forward to the rest of the series. But sticking to the very important topic of geopolitics, last week we had the G7 Leaders Summit. This week it's the G20 Foreign Ministers who are meeting in Bali this week ahead of the heads of state meeting later this year in November. The difference is Russia, not a member of the G7, were suspended, but they are a member of the G20. And the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, he's expected to attend this meeting. So it looks like it's going to be a very, very interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously all eyes on Mr. Lavrov or whether Mr. Lavrov will attend. Now, even though there's been no actual indication from Moscow that he won't attend, Russia's participation in G20 events have been a source of tension, not least, of course, because of their invasion of Ukraine. So, you know, people will be keeping their eyes open to see if Mr. Lavrov will actually attend. US representatives, British representatives, Canadian officials, they walked out of a G20 finance meeting in April. So I guess the thinking is that if Mr. Lavrov turns up, who will not come as a kind of protest towards that? One thing to say is that certainly, you know, relations at the moment are very frosty. Mr. Lavrov himself last week warned that a new Iron Curtain is descending between Russia and the West. He said that actually goes back to 2014. Relations haven't been very good with the EU, but clearly Russia's invasion of Ukraine is the main sticking point at the moment, the main bone of contention. So, yeah, we'll have to keep our eyes on that. As I said, no sign from Moscow at the moment that Mr. Lavrov won't attend, but it'll definitely, at the very least, ruffle some feathers if he does turn up for that meeting.
It's going to be fascinating. And then China has demonstrated its assertiveness in that particular region of the world with President Xi's recent trip to Hong Kong. What's happening there?
Yeah, well, I mean, this one is actually in relation to, I mean, I guess we've got Russia asserting itself in Ukraine. I mean, that's one way of putting it. And then also people thinking about, well, what has that done to China and its thoughts as far as things in its regions or its territory? So things going on in the South China Sea, Taiwan, which of course says it's independent, but China considers part of its territory. Can we draw any conclusions between the reaction in the West to the invasion of Ukraine and how the West reacted to that, and then perhaps, you know, what China might see its future and where it's heading. So we've got local elections, big elections taking place in Japan on the 10th of July, this coming Sunday. And, you know, it's normally quite a pacifist nation. Confucianism sort of rules the roost there a little bit. But what we're hearing is particularly local media reports are saying that one issue that's not normally so important in Japanese elections is becoming a key issue in these upcoming elections, and that is defense spending. And how much of its GDP Japan is willing to spend on defense in reaction to perhaps China's growing confidence in the region. So we're hearing, you know, that basically more parties are putting forward the fact that they're going to increase defense spending. And that's something we're actually not just seeing in Japan, but also in other countries around the world as well. If we relate it back to where I'm speaking to you from today in London, our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, perhaps trying to deflect from other things in the news, he mentioned last week that Britain will be increasing its GDP, its percentage of GDP, from about 1.9% up to 2.5%. Now, that's actually quite a lot. If you compare that to, say, Most other countries, 2.5% would put Britain right at the top of that table. Give you a couple other figures to compare it with. The US spends 3.4% of its GDP, and the biggest spender every year, and has been for a while, is Saudi Arabia, way out in front with 8%. But it's the fact that Japan is now considering to considerably increase its defense spending that says quite a lot about, you know, certain, you know, worries in the region about, you know, China getting a bit more assertive. Is it thinking of invading Taiwan? That sort of thing.
And then finally, Pete, something we used to talk about every week on this segment is COVID, whether it be restrictions, the increase or the relaxation of restrictions. We also used to talk about numbers quite regularly. But globally, infections, we've learned to live with a disease. A pandemic has largely become endemic, learning to live with a disease. But globally, infections are on the rise again.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things to unpick there, isn't it? This sort of idea of learning to live. I mean, if I'll just talk about, you know, my experiences here in London, you know, we've got a prime minister who said we're world beating with our vaccine rollout, and also world beating in the way that we've coped or learned to live with COVID, to borrow your expression there. However, for example, traveling into the office this morning, if you get onto the tube into the underground, there's virtually nobody wearing a mask on there now. I mean, I would say less than 10%. You go into shops, I'm not seeing anyone wearing them in the shops, in the supermarkets, in enclosed spaces. However, COVID is back on the front pages of the newspapers here last week because infection rates are very high. I guess the thing to say on the other side, though, is that health experts are saying that the vaccines and our protections that are in place seem to be working, because when infection rates were this high at other points in the last 2.5 years, our hospitals were overflowing. Now, we're not quite at that stage yet, but it is still something that causes people to get ill. It is something that, you know, if I think about my workplace, for example, we've had a couple of colleagues off recently with COVID. Personally, I don't know about yourself, but more and more people that have never had COVID, my dad, for example, has now got COVID. I just found out yesterday my sister's got COVID. So we are definitely going through a new wave. And while it might not make people as sick, or you know, the death rates might not be as high as they were, you know, you got a lot of problems. If you know, for example, queuing for a coffee this morning in the local coffee shop chain, there was one person behind that counter when normally you would expect five or six. And I think there's probably a connection there with the amount of people calling off sick. So it's going to have, you know, as I say, the death rates maybe not as high, but there are going to be severe ramifications for the economy if, you know, large numbers of people have to call in sick because they're suffering with COVID.
Pete Ross, looking forward to chatting to you next week. Hopefully, Scotland can square that three-match series against Argentina. Also, I know they're not neighbours, but they're in your general environment. You can send the Welsh some luck as well as they play in Bloemfontein.
Well, I'll certainly do that. I've got Welsh family members. I'm sure they'll take that very graciously, Lester. And hopefully next time I can talk about a Scotland win.
Pete Ross, looking forward to chatting to you then. Bye-bye.